Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Rian is a Trinidadian born singer, songwriter, and producer. He started singing solos in church where his father was a preacher at the age of four. He relocated to London shortly after he was outed by a member of the church. In 2012, Rian won two silver medals at the World Championships of Performing Arts in California. He performed 12 sold-out shows at the Pearl Theatre in Shanghai, China in 2019 and released his debut single in 2022. Since then, he has racked up over 100,000 Spotify streams and has appeared in the top 10 on multiple iTunes charts around the world. He has been interviewed by BBC Radio several times, and his music has been featured on BBC Introducing. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Rian. Where do we find you in the world, and how are you doing?
Thank you for having me, Barrett. I am based in London right now. Are you asking me for my social media handles?
So you're based in London.
I'm based in London, yes. And you can find me at Rian Songs on all social media. It's RHIANSONGS.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age did you decide, cool, you want to be in this music entertainment world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Well, there was always music around me while I was growing up. My parents met singing in the church choir. And my dad is a preacher, so there was always music around the home because both of my parents sang and played instruments. I just loved singing. And I remember the first time I sang in church, I was 4 years old, and I sang a song called Smile, and my mother dressed me up in a little suit. And I just remember the feeling. I was so nervous, but I closed my eyes. And then when I opened them, everyone was like on their feet and really cheering me on. And I will always remember that feeling that it's not about me. It's about making people, connecting with people and making people feel happy. Mm-hmm. And throughout my teenage years, I sang, I did like the wedding. I would say it's like the wedding singer circuit. So I was performing at weddings and wherever I could have sang, I was singing. However, I didn't start releasing my own music because I was writing songs, but that was kind of a personal thing.
Okay.
And I didn't feel comfortable or confident enough to share it with others. So I was quite happy singing on stage, singing covers. But it was only in 2022, after my mother passed, that I realized that I really, really wanted to give this a go. And just realize that life is too short to like have regrets and to have what ifs. And so I just put everything I had in me towards what you see, what I'm doing now. I had a performance booked 2 days after my mother passed, and I was deciding, should I do it? Should I cancel it? Should I not? And I did it, and I've been going full steam ahead ever since.
Shame. So, condolences for your mother's passing. So what was that part of the realization for you to say, cool, you're going to start releasing and letting the world hear your original music? Was that the instrumentation for it, or were there other elements as well that came into play?
It was like a switch, because my mother really, really loved my voice and my singing, but she never knew that I wrote songs. So I kind of feel that she's like a driving force behind what I'm doing now. Without sounding too spiritual.
Absolutely. Why did you, if you don't mind me going there, why did you feel not confident to allow people to know that you were writing your own songs? Was it a doubt? Was it fear? What was it that was that resistance?
I don't want to get too deep, but growing up in the church, the music that I'm making now was not supported. It's not supported.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So even growing up, listening to the radio, I had to sneak to listen to the radio.
Oh, okay.
because secular music wasn't allowed in my household. So
Okay.
growing up with that in mind, I always kept this side of me sort of private.
I get
So
it. No, yeah. Okay.
there was almost a type of shame associated with me doing this.
It.
But now, as you can see, I'm not afraid of wearing a sparkly jacket or
Or looking
or
fabulous.
ex exactly.
So let's unpack your creative brain. What motivates you creating a song? Is it easy every time? What invigorates it? So your creative brain in creating music.
Where I'm right now,
Yes.
I've never sat out to write a song. Every day, at moments of my day, melodies come to me, and then I grab my phone before I forget it, and I hum it into it. And usually the melody will be attached to some sort of feeling, or the melody will evoke some sort of feeling or lyric, and then I would jot something down. And if I have time, I would like dive into it right then. But usually I don't have time because I'm on a train or I'm walking or I'm going somewhere, and then I would come back to it, and then I would sit on the piano or keyboard and finish up that idea.
So when did you learn to play the piano and keyboard? Is that a new thing or had you learned as a child?
No, so it's a love-hate relationship. So I think when I was about 6 or 7, I was playing the piano with, like, going to lessons with my mother. My mother actually came to lessons with me and my older sister. But the piano lessons teacher, Mrs. Osborne, God rest her soul, she was very old school and very in terms of hand techniques. And my hands are quite small, and they were small then, but they couldn't stretch over an octave. So I kind of played however I could to reach the notes. But the correct technique is you hold your hands up in a ball, and she had a tennis ball under my hands, and each time my fingers would drop to reach the notes, she would stab me with a pencil.
Oh my God.
So
Okay.
one day I grabbed the pencil from her and I broke it, and I told her, I said, "Don't hit me, you ugly old woman." And that was the end of my piano lessons.
How long did you go for?
I probably learned like for was going for a year, but after that, I did not. My mother came because she called my mother and she said, "Apologize, Mrs. Osborne." And I said no. I said no. So I never went back, and I kind of stayed away from the piano, I would say, for a very, 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 very long time. So I didn't play, but I use my knowledge of the theory into my songwriting. I'm not a great pianist, but I understand the music theory, and I understand the way chords work in relation to a song. Yeah.
So, fantastic for you for standing up for yourself, because a lot of times I think this is a societal thing. I'm just going there, that kids are always perceived to be like, sit there, keep quiet, don't talk. No, you have nothing of added value to say or include or to discuss. So you must just go run around. And if you have a voice or something to be heard, you must just keep quiet. So, good on you for standing up on yourself and not allowing that to continue, because that's not okay.
Yeah, and I was that child for a long time, and even into my teenage years, I was always very appropriate, but there's always a boiling point for
Exactly.
everybody.
Totally. Absolutely. So now, when you write your songs, is it always a self creation, or do you ever collaborate with other artists?
Okay, so all of the songs that I've written so far, they've just been me. I haven't co-written any of my songs as yet, but I would like to. So when I write the songs, I melody, chords, and I kind of write that out. I'm kind of old school, where I like to see it on paper.
Yes, I also write on paper, yeah.
So I write it on paper, and the producer I work with, Massimo, He is great. He has perfect pitch. So when we're doing the production, I would play him or sing him my ideas of what I would want for the bass line or what I'd want for the strings or the piano part, and he would play it down like there and then, like in minutes or seconds. So we've established a relationship over the past 2 years, and we're getting quicker at it now, where we understand each other, like even like non-verbal communication.
You've got the new track Ecstasy. What's happening thereafter, or are you just going with the flow?
So at the beginning of this, so at the end of last year, so we all have New Year's resolutions. I set the goal for myself that I want to release a new single every 8 weeks this year. I'm on track to do that. I've recorded everything that I need to record for this year. So I'm actually recording. I'm recording things for 2025 now.
Yay. Yay. So wait, so is it going to accumulate into a body of work of a full album, or you're just sort of randomly releasing songs?
I'm just going to be releasing singles because I don't feel I've done my research, and I'm not at the point where I have a large enough fan base that an album makes sense though. I do have enough songs for an album, and I'm keeping some of the ballads and the more serious stuff to that I want to put on a body of work. But at the moment, I'm just going to be releasing singles.
So I saw you released a cover of that Queen song.
Is this the world we created?
Yes, that's it. So are the rest going to be originals, or going to be any other covers in the mix of the releases?
Mainly originals, but I will be releasing at some point a cover of a Sylvester track,
Yes.
because Sylvester really inspired me to just to be who I am unapologetically, because he was so ahead of his time.
Yeah.
And I only wish that I was old enough to be around and to see him live and to meet him at the time. But a song called I Need Somebody to Love Tonight, which is a quite like a, I don't know if you know it or not, but it's an obscure sort of track that's about 6 or 7 minutes long. I've kind of cut it down, and I sped it up to make it a house dance track. I kind of made it my own, but kept the melody and the bass line and everything intact, but it's different.
I love me a CD. I still buy my CDs every month. I budget for them. I love the aesthetic, the journey of what am I getting? Unwrapping it, looking at the pictures. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys because you put in a huge amount of work, and it should be at the, I see it as a thank you. Albums, CDs, and cassettes, even cassettes, can you believe it, are on a massive uptick, especially with the younger people. But we've also got these streaming platforms where people consume music on. What are your observations and perceptions of the landscape where it's at currently?
I hear what you're saying. I think there is a demand for these physical aspects of music now. And although MacBooks and you don't see CD players anymore selling it in shops, or but I think if somebody really likes you, they look at these items as something tangible they can hold as a collector's item, something they can put up as decoration. In their apartment or their home. So I think the two go hand in hand. People nowadays, they're consuming music on devices, on the go. It's very accessible and easy. But the CD, or even I see vinyl, lots of legacy artists are releasing their stuff on vinyl now. And not that anybody's going to play it on, they're going to buy a record player and play it. But it's a collector's item and something, a keepsake.
But
So, and it's something that.
it's interesting you say that, because last year I wanted to get a new CD player because I was living overseas, and I thought to myself, oh my God, am I going to be able to get one? Everyone says there's nowhere to be found. In South
Did you get
Africa, there's
one?
a platform called Takealot, which is sort of similar to Amazon, but slightly different. And I went on there hoping that I'd be able to get one option. There were hundreds of options. I had to narrow it down and narrow it down again to eventually I got what I was looking
My
for.
goodness.
And I actually saw a headline on, like, your phone, where there's that Google spits out all the sort of the what you've been searching. And on one of the major publications, I'm not sure if the UK or US, they actually featured top 10 new CD players or new CD functional CD players to buy for your home because CDs are on such a massive upward trajectory. So they are available. You just have to look, and I think you'll find them.
All right, and random question.
Yes.
Are they priced as they were priced years ago? Are they cheaper or are they more expensive now?
They the same.
Okay.
Around the same, yeah. So it's quite interesting. And I teach spinning classes. So one of my things is I create playlists on Spotify for that. So often I have to listen to my playlist sort of to prepare beforehand. And I listen to it on the same system that I listen to my CDs. And what's interesting is that the exact same song on Spotify compared to listening to it on the CD player, on the CD, it's like 100 times different. It's like on the CD, it sounds like you're in a massive stadium. And when you listen to Spotify or that, it seems like muted and smaller and contained. And the
So,
energy's not as big.
what happens with the mastering when it goes to that digital format? It's with us something like a geek or a nerd, it gets more and more compressed.
Yes.
So the highs, the lows, and the mids, everything gets squashed even further. And that's the sound, that's what you're describing, where you hear it on the CD. It sounds like it's bigger and it's like a stadium.
Okay, so moving into that, putting it out there that you'll be stadiums in the next while. But now, what do you enjoy about performing live?
Back to the first question that you asked me, I still get that feeling, those butterflies I did when I was that little boy, and having that interaction and that exchange of energy with a live audience is irreplaceable. It's something I can't describe, but it's something that thrills me and just brings me joy, because as a little boy, music. Other artists like Michael Jackson and Queen and Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, they brought me so much joy as a young boy, and I feel that I just want to give that back.
Okay, so I've had this discussion with the most of the artists that I interview, and I find this point, and everyone has their own opinions and their own perceptions. I'm that person that's always up in front, dancing, jamming. I'll take on my phone for one or two videos, one or two photos, and I put it away. But I notice the people around me, they've got their phones out for a lot of the time of the show. And do you not feel that that takes away from the connection and energy that
You're seeing my face, right?
Yes.
I love being in the moment, and sometimes I'm doing something and somebody remind me, it's like, oh, Rian, you have to get some content. I'm like, oh. I'll say, okay, I'll take out my phone and
Take
grab a
up the
moment,
things, yeah.
but I think it takes away so much from the human interaction. By just having a device up. I think it's beneficial. It's like a double-edged sword. It's a good thing and a bad thing, because us as artists, we do need that exposure and somebody sharing the live moments, because somebody at a different seat can capture something that a professional recording on the stage will not pick up, and the energy from the audience. But I think there comes a time when you have to put your phone down and just be like,
Yay! And just dance.
yeah, just dance and enjoy yourself.
It's like fascinating. Like there's this new thing now I've noticed, and I'm using this in Johannesburg. There's this sort of a music festival called Park Live, which is a whole bunch of different sort of local and international artists. And I was at the event last year, and JP Cooper was like one of the headlining people. He was on stage, and I was sort of in the media pit to the side, and the girl next to me loves him, but the entire time he was performing, she had her back to the stage, filming herself performing with him in the background. She didn't even see him. I'm like, what are you doing? Just turn around. He's right there. I didn't say that. It was just what I was thinking at the time.
I think that her priority may have been for she maybe she's doing a live feed or something, I don't know.
Where she's a star attraction.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I mean, literally, you saw a face, and then the background, you saw him like standing small, like yeah. Okay, so I love this game. I know if I had to ask you the question in 2 minutes, 2 hours, 5 minutes, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying
I'm
top of mind.
scared.
I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Oh my goodness.
Your face.
The greatest love of all, Whitney Houston. Make it happen, Mariah Carey. Must be Sylvester. You make me feel
Yeah.
mighty real. Michael Jackson. It has to be a Michael Jackson song. What about sunrise?
Yep.
What about rain? And let me go back. Motown, Motown, something Motown. Al Green, Let's Stay Together.
Okay, is that the one that Tina Turner also did a version of?
Yeah. I'm so in love with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. Yeah.
So, Rian, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
The world is a very crazy place. But we all as individuals can brighten up somebody's day, and we're responsible for our own happiness. So let your light shine and don't be afraid.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.